But I wanted to share with you tonight, God seeks intercessors. When you recognize what he has done for us, everything, when you recognize that life and love and light all come from him, wouldn't you just like to do something that he would like? Wouldn't you like to please him? Wouldn't you like to say thank you? And the scripture shows us that he seeks intercessors, not just people who pray, Lord, heal my big toe. And I make fun of it, but, you know, we have our problems, we have our difficulties, and hopefully we'll be better able to serve the Lord without a sore toe. Toes are interesting. People heard about somebody who had to amputate their big toe and had to go to rehabilitation, learn to walk all over again. Amazing. The balance, the pressure, something. But all that to say, this is something that he wants of us. Not just to focus prayer for self, though he said that's all right, but to seek outside ourselves. When he urges us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Word of God, the growing in grace, the growing in love for the whole world can be answered primarily through prayer. Notice some of the verses. Isaiah 59:16, he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. Isaiah says this quite a bit. We'll look at some of the others. And without going into all the context of what this is all about, though that's interesting in itself, here's a time when God looks at the earth and he says, nobody is praying for others. Isaiah 62, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, or are the Lord's remembrancers, those who remember the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest, give him no silence, till he establishes, till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. What is he talking about? Importunate praying. This is where you just keep on praying. He says, don't give God rest day or night. See? Don't hold your peace. Isaiah 63:5. God says, and I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. God says, what is going on? Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And Isaiah 64:7, there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. Isaiah looks around and says, there's nobody praying. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed or melted us because, or by the hand of our iniquities. We see God had hidden his favor from them, and they said, well then, we don't call on your name anymore. What will it take for you to stop calling on his name? Ezekiel, he says, I sought for a man among them that they should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. And so he let the destruction come to the land. John Gill says this, but I found none. No reformer of them, no repairer of the breach, no restorer of paths to dwell in. No intercessor for them, as Abraham for Sodom, Moses for Israel, or any like Aaron that stood between the living and the dead to stay the plague. Wouldn't you like to be that man, that woman, the one that stands in the gap, that says, Lord, help these people? Christ says, John 15:16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you to what? That you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. John Gilligan says that last phrase, this is added to encourage their perseverance in the work he chose and called them to, the work of winning others to Christ, which would be attended with many difficulties and discouragements. Wherefore, as they would stand in need of divine assistance, they might assure themselves of it. For be it what it would, they should ask of his Father, making mention of his name and righteousness, whether for sufficiency of gifts and grace in the discharge of their duty, or for the success in it, or for the confirmation of the truths delivered by them, or for liberty and boldness to speak in vindication of themselves. When called to it before kings and governors, it should be given them. This is the time to go to prayer. This is the time to understand the vast importance of it. So, three important concepts of prayer, let me share with you. Three very important areas in this concept of prayer. We'll look at them one by one. One is the world, one is God himself, and the other is us, his church. The world, we see, the untold millions are still untold. Intercession is their only hope. Remember how Christ said, you are workers in the field, but I want you to adopt the attitude of the owner of the field. I want you to pray to the Lord of harvest to call more laborers into the field. I want you to get excited about this idea of reaping benefit souls for Christ. I want you to adopt that. You're not just the servant trudging through the field. I want you to share the burden with me of the lost. Pray for, intercede, pray for laborers. Intercession is their only hope. Every year, millions pass into outer darkness. Every year, millions of Christians are blind to the truths of the Word, to the reality of Christ our Savior. Missionaries labor for the souls of men with little result because of the lack of intercession. If we could just see, glimpse the enormous need, we would cry to God first to give us the spirit of intercession. Lord, I need that burning spirit of intercession when I look at what the world is. Just heard by way of Facebook, actually, that what's the name of the parade? I forgot. Rose Parade. Tournament of Roses, yeah. That they're going to have a float with two men getting married on it. Sponsored by the AIDS Foundation. The world is just lost. And can you just let it go without a concern? Then think of God Almighty himself. We have been plainly told that he delights in mercy, that he is gracious, he longs to pour out his blessings. So why does he wait? So that's an interesting question. Why is there no great revival? We find out, God reveals that it's because of your unbelief, of my unbelief. It is our faithlessness. This intercessory prayer thing, he honored us to take us as partners in the work of reaching the unsaved by co-laboring with him in prayer. Lack of intercession He has made our prayers one of the standard measures of the working of his power. Lack of intercession, one of the chief reasons for the lack of blessing. God says, I will if you will. And then the church. Think of, let it dwell upon you, the awesome privilege, the wondrous power of intercession. A false humility thinks, I'm nothing. And when I say I'm nothing, that's a great virtue for me. I'm nothing and proud to be able to say that. I'm proud of my humility. That's a false humility. You're not truly humble till you see that you are nothing before God. That without him, you can do nothing. That in me, Paul says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. You're gonna puff up your chest before God. He says, I see who you really are. But you see, we can grasp a hold of that. We don't have to apologize for that. He knows that. He called us, we who are not many noble, not many whatever, you know. We're nobodies. But we glory in that, because when great things happen, then it is not laid at our feet, but at his. We need to see ourselves with the eyes of faith as we think of the stars above with the eyes of science. All we know about stars from our eyesight is just a little point of light. But when we look up, when we think, this is a fiery sun far, far, far away, we know something about it. We need to let God tell us about ourselves and what we can do with him. Flesh sees its weakness. Faith sees empowerment through Christ. Flesh sees the church's weakness. Faith sees it as lifted into union with Christ. One of the reasons that he left us on earth after our salvation was to fulfill the work of intercession, which is part of the work of salvation. Four verses, Matthew 21:22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. You see where he wants us to go? What he wants us to be? John 14:13, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Not our glory, but his. John 15:16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Part of that fruit bearing has to do with prayer, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. John 16:23, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. That sounds like, when we really get to mean prayer, when we really think about it, it becomes one of the great works of our life. Can we take it seriously and recognize this isn't one of those things where we say our prayers? Somebody wrote out a prayer, we're going to say it. But instead, we're going to pray. We're going to talk to God. We're going to plead with him. We're going to beseech him for others. Because God seeks intercessors.